Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden and D. Quillen, your hosts for the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
I've been on fire with Sally Field, though. Sure have.
A bit, yeah.
It looks like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I can barely walk. That sounds like a pretty rough fire
it
there.
It was. It was a 3-alarm.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, so to what John's talking about here is that...
That Beneva really works, huh?
My knee is acting up. Apparently, I have water on my knee, and I'm actually in a considerable amount of pain, to be honest with you. But I'm hoping to get it checked out at the doctor's office tomorrow, so hopefully I have an update for you guys next week on exactly what the hell is wrong with my knee. But I am walking around with a cane.
A knee brace,
and lots of grimaces.
Grunts quite often now.
Yeah, you may hear one of those every now and then this episode, too. Speaking of this episode and speaking of grunts, we've got an interview with our curmudgeon this week.
Okay, I was wondering where you were going to go with that.
So Paul Kruk is going to join us again.
Long time.
Yeah, it's been a while. And we've all got a few things we need to get off our chest think about. So, as usual, the podcast is going to be sort of a therapeutic tool for all of us involved this week. And then,
speaking of angst, we have a Deep Throat Theater with Tennessee Reps production of Sweeney Todd with our good friend
Lane Davies.
Yes, so playing the title role there. So we have a few minutes to chat with him, and apparently it's going really well. So
that sounds fun. Let's go ahead and get into it.
Okay.
Carlin Effect. Go.
In a package of bacon, underneath all the neat horizontal strips, there's always one oddly folded piece that seems to have been thrown in at the last moment.
Thus saith George.
Thus ends his catechism.
I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. You may have heard us on NPR or the BBC. You may have seen us on the walls of the post office. But now you can hear us every week on the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. You'll hear famous guests, infamous guests, backstage drama, touring trauma, where to eat in Pittsburgh, where not to drive in Israel, literary analysis, hysterical paralysis. All this and less on the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast at ReducedShakespeare.com. But now back to John Malden and T. Quillen, treading the boards, talking the craft, on the Inexplicable Dumb Show.
Hi, I am someone you will probably never meet. Yet I ask you to take time
to think about people you don't know but need your help. Children, some of them. And they don't all play, in the gutter, of course.
Well, maybe if it's called for.
These men, women, and yes, even the children are professional actors. They want and need your time, money, and support.
For just pennies a second, you can enjoy the fruits of their labor. Make sure they know you heard about them on the Inexplicable Dumb Show.
They may look at you funny, but that doesn't matter. It's for the children.
It's for the children.
It's time once again for some Deep Fried Theater!
So, hey, John.
Yes, sir.
We got Lane Davies again on the phone.
Oh, outstanding. Lane, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing good. So, what are you up to?
About 6'2 last time I measured. That's an old joke.
I heard
you how tired I am.
Well, that's all right. I heard you're doing a little show up there in Nashville, a little thing called Sweeney Todd.
Yes, like the demon barber himself.
Nice. And how's that going?
It's going extremely well. In fact, we're sold out for the run. The last I heard, there was like one ticket left. There are a few of what's called obstructed view seats. There's about 6 or 7 seats way down front that you have to kind of crane your neck to see what's going on in the barber shop. So those are the last ones. to be sold, and as far as I know, they're the only ones still available for the show.
Wow, that's good news.
Yeah, yeah. Renee Copeland's kicking herself for not having scheduled the long run.
Tell us about the show, first of all. I was going to say give us the dates, but go ahead, tell us about the show and the process. It's already opened, I'm assuming. I think it opened last weekend, yes?
Yes, it did. It's sort of a departure for the rep in that it's a little bit more of a challenge all around than anything they've done in a while, because, as you know, Sweeney's not your typical musical. The Sondheim music is extremely challenging, especially for an old dog like me. Spent the first week just working on music and then went into what was a more or less conventional rep schedule. But Gary Hoff's set is designed to sort of disorient people from the minute they walk into the Johnson Theater. He's reversed the Johnson Theater in order to make use of the sort of under the area under the dressing rooms and stuff. So as soon as people come in, the theater itself's in a different configuration, and Gary has put together an amazing set for this piece, sort of a 19th century industrial set with lots of moving parts and precarious places to stand and sit for the actor.
I'm assuming that everything's been okay thus far, though, right?
Thus far, yes. We had a little ankle twisting incident and missed our last run through because we had to sort of adapt to that. But other than that, there haven't been any major injuries or anything. It's just it's a challenging set to work on, but a rewarding set to look at.
So how many waivers have you had to sign to
17 the last time I counted. Nobody signed any waivers. We've just been pitching into an amazing ensemble of people. Matt Carlton, Sam Whitehead, a lot of familiar faces. Martha Wilkinson, of course, is playing Mrs. Lovett, which makes it a lot easier for me because I'm basically invisible anytime she's on stage, so I can relax a bit. Sweeney being a somewhat exhausting role. Patrick Waller is also in it, and some other familiar rep faces.
Tell us, have you done anything that would be sort of a departure from the traditional take on Sweeney Todd? What's been your approach to that particular character? I mean, I know you said it yourself, it's a very difficult and demanding and exhausting role. What has been your attack on this particular role?
I just sort of look at where he comes from and then where he's been, not to get all actory about it, but, he's a middle-class guy, decent breeding who, was treated terribly unjustly. And now has spent 15 years in an Australian penal colony before escaping and coming back. So I'm using a lot of what I think those 15 years might have been like to sort of fire his engine for revenge, besides the emotional attachment to the wife and daughter that were taken away from him. And I don't know how that differs from anybody else. I'm a huge Johnny Depp fan, but I didn't see a lot of Botany Bay, the penal colony that Sweeney is supposed to have been in that performance. But I loved his performance, but for me, I felt like the convict background probably colored Sweeney's behavior and even physicality somewhat.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you think the recent film has kind of upswelled attendance for your production here? Do you think that it has? Do you see a lot of people that come see the Reps production and then want to compare or contrast it to the film? Do you think there's any of that kind of things going on?
I don't see how it could not have raised awareness for the production, because the title. It had a big revival in New York about 5 years ago, but but that's a New York revival, and then there's a few smaller tours out. But the title had sort of fallen from, you know, sort of mainstream theatrical vocabulary. And I think the Johnny Depp movie and Johnny Depp's huge popularity helped bring it back into the mainstream. And I'm sure that's one reason attendance has been as good as it has been for the show.
I have to ask this question too. Is it, are you finding it just absolutely fulfilling to play that role? I mean, that role that's just completely and totally full of vengeance. That just seems like it would be a ball to me.
It is. It's,
he's an angry man right now, so.
Yeah. As I'm slowly getting past just the technical challenges of learning the music and learning the role and not killing myself on the set, he's more and more fun to play. I saw it on Broadway, you know, I saw the original production on Broadway. That's how old I am. And, I wanted to play the part ever since because, it's pretty, you know, it's a pretty clear arc for the character. He's got, one or two basic things that he wants to accomplish before he leaves the planet. And he gets to accomplish them. And a few he didn't want to do or didn't mean to do, but, psychosis and revenge and murder and involuntary cannibalism. It's all fun stuff.
That's the quote for the t-shirt, I think, right there. Oh man, it's always been one of my favorite musicals of all time, and it's, I mean, it seems to me, I've never played the role obviously, but it seems to me like it's just such an absolutely fulfilling, both artistically and just that being able to, you know, have the opportunity to go to those places. So I'm thrilled that the rep is doing it. I think it's a fantastic choice, and like John says, it is taking the popularity of the movie and sort of running with it. And I know a lot of people have done that. Were you aware that there's a production being done by the opera here on campus at MTSU as well?
No, I was not aware of that. I know there's a big group coming from MTSU, supposedly.
I have heard that as well. I think it opens toward the end of the month. I think they're running it on Halloween night. There's a weekend of it here too.
Fun.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, it's one of those that's definitely right back in the mainstream, I think. And, like you said, you know, thanks to Johnny Depp in a lot of cases.
Well, I think also the thanks to you, T. I think it should be thanks to you because you ramrod that to your theater appreciation classes every semester.
I've taught it every semester for like the best 2 years. So, but you also have people like Lane who are, you know,
absolutely
bringing it back to the forefront as well.
It's kind of a grassroots campaign.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, Lane, give us the dates.
Well, I'll have to come up and see that. That'll be fun to see another production of it at the old alma mater.
Awesome. Well, you'll have to make sure to stop by and see us as well when you do that. Give us the dates of the show again, and we'll put links to the website and all that stuff up there. But just give us the dates and when it opens and closes and where people can get tickets if there are any left and all that good stuff.
Well, it opened. It opened last Saturday. We run Tuesday through Saturdays with two performances on Saturday through the 18th of this month. So there's basically, I don't know, 11, 12 more, 10 or 11 more performances left, I guess.
Awesome. Any chance of it being possibly extended, do you think, or is that pretty much going to be it?
Well, Renee hasn't mentioned that. I know she would love to do it, but I think because of the nature of TPAC and scheduling there, not to mention the orchestra and what have you, I'm not sure that that's an option.
Hmm.
So I haven't heard any talk to that effect, other than Renee wishing she had scheduled another week, because we could probably easily get another 2 weeks out of the show.
Awesome. Well, Lane, it's a pleasure, as always, to have you on the show.
Anytime. And great to talk to you guys.
And break a leg.
Yeah, break a leg. Drink a lot of hot lemon tea or something.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, this is a lot of hot lemon and tea kind of show.
All right, man. Thanks again.
Thank you. Hey, T.
Yeah.
When we don't have guests in studio, how do we talk to them?
Interesting question, John. We use a program called Skype.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What is that about?
Well, it's a piece of software that you can download it. It's free to download. You can use it to talk to other Skype users over the internet for free, or you can make cheap phone calls to phones and mobile phones worldwide through the Skype Out program.
Okay, and how would I, perchance, acquire Skype?
Well, what you can do is you can go to inexplicabledumbshow.com and click on the Download Skype button on the left-hand side of the page.
It's as easy as that?
It's as easy as that.
Wow. I'll go do that right now.
Want to stay current with the Inexplicable Dumb Show?
It's quick and it's easy and it's free.
Click the subscribe button at inexplicabledumbshow.com
and you'll never have to miss an episode.
If you love the Inexplicable Dumb Show like I do, don't be shy about it. Go ahead and wear your feelings on your sleeve, or at least your chest. Head on over to our Cafe Press store and wear your support for the IDS proudly. www.cafepress.com/dumbshow.
He's inspired. He's intrepid. He's incognito. He's incontinent. He's your roving reporter, Paul B. Crook, theater curmudgeon.
So, T.
Yes, sir.
We haven't heard from our curmudgeon in a while.
That's true.
And I thought, with all that is going on and going wrong with the world today,
mm-hmm.
Paul Crook has got to have something to say about it.
Paul, welcome back.
Why, thank you for having me. Yes, I've built up a lot of hatred in the time since we
Oh man, you know, I heard somebody say the other day, it's like, you know, we're all going to hell, we just have to pick out which handbasket we're going in.
Yeah.
Oh my god. You know. All right, Paul, so lay it on us, man. What you got?
Oh man, of course unfortunately today, and what's going on is we've got too many choices almost. This ridiculous crap going on with AIG, the insurance company,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
That after they were rescued by the government, as I'm sure that our listeners have heard, they then decided that they needed a $400,000 weekend in a spa in California because, mm-hmm, by God, when my company's going down, I need to get my toenails done. You know, now I think we now see why Paulson and everybody else was putting a gun to Congress's head and saying, we've got to have the bailout now. We've got to have the bailout now. It's because I couldn't cancel their damn reservations at the spa.
Right, right.
That's why it had to happen right away. And yesterday they get more money?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Explain to me how that happens. How does it happen that they get bailed out, then they go waste $400,000, the news breaks, and they're still given more money?
Well, see, what this is to me, Paul, is this is basically just setting a really good example for the rest of us. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to absolutely just stop paying my mortgage completely. I'm going to stop paying for all of my bills, electricity and all that stuff. And when somebody comes and knocks on the door, I'm going to say, well, wait a minute. Hang on a second. I'm waiting on my check from the government to come in.
That's right.
You know,
that's right. I need that. I need a bailout.
Right.
And then I'm going to the spa.
Right. Right. Yeah. Then I've got to have a new HDTV, you know, a new flat panel.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly. So, I mean, because the football doesn't look so good.
I know. It just doesn't.
Without it.
It just doesn't. So go ahead.
It just all of this with all the crap going on and as you said, picking your handbasket. It's why, and you know, you guys, you work with college students all the time. Mm-hmm. I work with college students all the time. And one of the things that I tell my students is, look, you know, I'm not going to stand here in class and advocate for one party or another or one candidate or another. But what I will advocate for and what I will say is you've got to vote. And you've got to know what your rights are to
yes.
vote. Have you seen this? This is what gets me. And it's – most of the time, I don't want to cast aspersions, although I could, but I won't. on particular parties, because I think that most of this shit that goes on is not affiliated with either party, but the voter suppression and voter intimidation crap that's going on around the nation right now. We're in fucking 2008, by God.
Yep.
And in Philadelphia, we've got people putting flyers going into low-income housing residential areas and putting flyers under car windshield wipers and on doors saying, oh, don't vote, the cops might be there. You've got people, you know, going into, you've got an organization, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization in Nevada that is trying to help people register, regardless of party, trying to help people register to vote. And now you've got people going in and claiming that there's something nefarious going on with whatever that – I can't think of the organization's name.
Well, yeah, I think it's Acorn. And you heard what records they found there, didn't you?
They had
false voter records for all of the names on the Dallas Cowboys football roster.
They were going to
have them register to vote in Nevada. So,
and now I don't know. Maybe I'm reading the article that I read, and it was, I don't know, one of the big